But let's talk some cricket again, because some news coming from across the waters in the last 24 or 48 hours about the suggestion that players in this year's Ashes series will wear names and numbers on their backs for identification purposes, I assume, for the first time in 142 years of Test cricket. Ali Martin from The Guardian has been good enough to join us to tell us why and what's going on. Ali, good morning.
Hello, gents. How are you?
We are very well, thank you. Appreciate your time. How is this suggestion, or is it confirmed, or what is the current update? Has it been received by the cricketing faithful?
Yeah, well, it's I sort of got a bit of a steer about it, about 24 hours ago about it, and checked it out with the relevant sort of authorities, and it sounds like that they're pressing ahead with it. It's the this Ashes series, which is in the English summer, is going to be the first of the new World Test Championship, and because of the sort of rebrand and reboot of Test cricket with this new tournament, which the Ashes will be a contributing series towards. They want to, you know, sort of just slightly jazz it up a touch, put names and numbers on the back of shirts, and try and sort of, you know, slightly modernise Test cricket without hopefully losing too much of its charm.
We've got former Australian Test cricketer John Hastings here with us in the studio, Duke. Yes. Firstly, just as we get more from Ali about this, what do you make of this concept?
To be honest, half, it doesn't really faze me too much. And I think I'd like to get Ali's opinion in a minute. But, you know, having played over there, it's been happening for a long time, especially over in the county championship. And it happened a few years ago here in our first-class setup as well. So name and numbers, I don't think it's a really big deal from my point of view. The players certainly wouldn't mind it. And I think some of the elder statesmen that get along to watch the game will be happy with that, because sometimes, you know, they can get a little bit flustered out there when they don't see the right person running into bowl or whatever. So I think it'll clear it all up. But I don't know, Ali, from your point of view, has there been much kickback from it, or anyone been speaking about it too much over there in the UK?
Yeah, it has turned into quite a big story, actually. It's quite a sort of talking point, because you've got, I mean, traditionalists who like to see, you know, the players in their sort of traditional, you know, whites or creams, you know, out there in sort of as the games in their eyes has always been played, but there are people who sort of see the benefits, perhaps especially for younger fans, as you say, or older supporters who, when they're in the ground, I think, you know, a lot of these guys, when especially since the advent of the helmet with batsmen, and also, you know, fielders, you know, dressed pretty uniformly as well, that, you know, it's just that small, it's a one percenter. I don't think anyone is sort of claiming that, you know, this is Gandalf, you know, with a magic spell to save Test cricket. But I think it's just a small 1% that will just help sort of enhance the experience in the ground. And look, it's probably quite a cynical element to it as well. You could probably look at sort of the sale of shirts and replica shirts and what have you. But if it gets kids, you know, if the kids can go out and buy a white replica Test shirt with their favourite player on the back, I think, you know, that can have a great knock-on effect down the line.
And I think this is where the sort of the debate's been skewed, Ali, is around that, because I know in England at the moment you've got the potential for the 100-ball cricket, and this is another thing where they're trying to get the younger people back engaged in the game. And we certainly have had a change in recent times with the Big Bash getting younger people involved, and it would appear that this is another target at the younger audience in the UK.
I think it is, yeah. And you mentioned the 100-ball. I don't want to go into that, because that's another big contentious talking point. But you're right. I mean, there is a sort of a drive to sort of reinvigorate and sort of regenerate the fan base. And I think one of the most important things to remember about Test cricket is, and I get personally in my job, you know, writing about it, following the game, I get very frustrated when I hear administrators talk about a sport that's dying. We just have the most epic 12 months of Test cricket. We've seen the Australia meltdown in South Africa. We've seen England beat the world number ones, India 4-1. We've seen New Zealand win in the UAE against Pakistan. We've seen England win in Sri Lanka. We've seen India win in Australia. And then we've just seen England get absolutely slapped down by the West Indies in the Caribbean. So it's been an incredible topsy-turvy 12 months of Test cricket. You know, really compelling stuff.
Yeah.
And I just think that it's a case of championing that format and telling people how great it is and just spreading the word. And as I say, if this idea of shirts and what have you, if it's just a small 1% of it helps get that job done, you can only do a good thing.
Well, Ali, from my point of view, I'm with you on that one. I've got no issue with the name and number on the back of the shirt. That doesn't impact the game too much. For me, it's more having a look at bringing in things like a shot clock or the same ball for all tests around the world. That sort of thing gets under my skin a little bit more than the actual shirt.
Yeah, I think that kind of stuff would actually impact the sort of ebb and flow of the game. And in some ways, look, there's always noble intentions. There's always people, you know, hopefully with the best game's best interests at heart, trying to speed it up, trying to give the punters more sort of overs for their money when they pay a ticket. They want to see 90 overs in a day. You know, moving the game on a bit. Personally, I think there's other ways you can do that. I think that should come down to the umpires. I think they should be a lot hotter on policing that. But you know, it's such a great form of the game, Test cricket, and we're all sort of caught up in T20 and short form, but we can just forget sometimes how good the main course is, and it's just a case of getting the word out there.
Now, this is an observation from a long way away, but it feels to me that English cricket have shot itself in the foot when it comes to the broadcasting of Test cricket is not on free-to-air television in the UK, and they're missing a generation, maybe two generations now, of potential cricket fans who just don't get to see their national team play in Test cricket.
Yeah, and look, I mean, the 100 ball tournament is a kind of way of redressing that because, you know, they're trying to get cricket back onto free-to-air, and I think the feedback from the broadcasters, given that it's been such a long wait, is that they can only really handle sort of 2.5-3 hours of cricket of an evening, and that Test cricket is such a big, unwieldy form of the game that, you know, there isn't a terrestrial channel that feels it can take that and make it commercially viable over here. I disagree. I probably come across in his interview. I think Test cricket is fantastic. But it's a slightly different landscape in terms of TV than it is to, say, in Australia, I would argue. But, yeah, it's a concern. I'll certainly concede that one.
Now, Ali, give us a bit of an insight into... We've spoken a lot over here, and I'm sure that it would have been a lot over in the UK as well, Smith and David Warner. What can they expect? Are the Barmy Army just cooking up some different sorts of songs? And I'm sure they'll be welcoming both of those with open arms.
Well, I think so. To be honest, I think that's why they want names and numbers on shirts. Pledging the right guys from the Holly stand at Edgbaston. But, yeah... I think that people are pretty excited about it here, and yeah, they'll get a warm reception. That first test is being played at Edgbaston, the first Ashes test. Obviously, we've got the World Cup coming before as well, but that first Ashes test, England versus Australia, is at Edgbaston. It's sort of our equivalent to the Gabba these days, because it's a proper stronghold of English cricket, and the Holly stand, you know, the people of Birmingham are so passionate about their cricket, and yeah, they do love to get stuck into the opposition. So they're not going to be spared on that front, and I think that's kind of part of what they've had to wear over the last 12 months as well. You know, all the events that happen in Cape Town, but I think it will be in the right spirit. You know, we're English cricket fans are a pretty forgiving bunch as well. They're not going to be there's going to be humour within that, I suspect. I don't think it's going to be the kind of it's not going to get nasty, I don't think. And look, people will want to see guys like that. I mean, David Warner, for example, I mean, he's obviously, I mentioned Edgbaston and Birmingham. It's obviously where he sort of famously punched Joe Root in that bar that night, isn't it? So he's had a bit of a love affair with Birmingham the whole time. So he's going to be tasty with that first test match. But I think people like that kind of pantomime villain that you get, potentially. And who knows, maybe David will turn around with a few jokes, maybe the new softer side. Although I think David Warner's grown a beard recently, which I think he's going to cop a bit of stick for that.
Is it no good, Duke?
No, it's one of the worst things you've ever seen. So I can't quite call it a beard. It's more of a wispy...
No, it's big patches in it. It doesn't work.
Yeah, it's not good.
I've got to get rid of that. Now, we know, Ali, that the Australians got a busy calendar in the build-up to the Ashes. What's the English calendar look like?
Well, I mean, similarly, we've got a few guys heading off to the IPL, and but then they will all be coming back sort of halfway through that tournament. We've got a one-off wonder against Ireland in Malahide, which will always be good fun and certainly good for the nightlife as well. And then there's five one-dayers against Pakistan, they're a pretty good side to warm up against, especially for the batsmen, because they've got such a red-hot bowling attack, as they showed in the Champions Trophy 2 years ago. So I think England are going to hit the tournament hopefully pretty well too. And there's a couple of warm-up games. There's Afghanistan and there's one against the Aussies as well, which actually could be Smith and Warner's comeback. So they're not official ODIs. And then straight into the tournament May the 30th against South Africa. And people are pretty excited about this England team at the moment. But I think in the last few months, we've just seen the rest of the world come back. I think England have come back into the pack a little bit. You know, a 2-2 draw in the Caribbean, which was a little bit disappointing. They were brilliant one game and absolutely hopeless the next. And 2-2 was probably a bit of a shock to the system for a team that had won its previous sort of 9 series. So I think they've come back slightly into the pack. They're probably lacking just one sort of gun X factor fast bowler. Mark Wood has sort of come onto the scene, or sort of returned to the scene, and he's looking pretty red hot. But we'd love another one. And people are talking about Jofra Archer, the Barbados-born fast bowler, who hasn't even been capped yet. He's only just qualified to play for England a couple of days ago. So there's a talk of him potentially breaking into the squad as a bolter. But we've seen, you know, the Aussies win in India. We've seen what the damage that Chris Gayle and his West Indies, you know, the West Indies guys have done to England. I think, you know, a 10-team tournament is disappointing. You haven't got all the sort of slightly lesser teams in there. It's a little bit elitist for me, but in terms of the cricket we're going to see, it's going to be a right old ding-dong battle, I think.
It's a great year for cricket. We appreciate your time, Al. Look forward to the summer unfolding from an English perspective and seeing what they look like with their names and numbers on the back of their creams and the Ashes. Good stuff. We really appreciate your time.
No worries, guys. And yeah, enjoy the show. And it's good to speak to John as well, who's obviously a bit of a county hero.
Let's not overdo it, Ellie.
Anytime you can come on here. That's beautiful. I love that sort of stuff. Thanks, mate.
Good stuff. Ellie Martin from The Guardian. If you want to read his piece on the names and numbers, theguardian.com/sport, you'll find it in there.